Afternoon study session together with you. This is the daily Power Parsha, our daily look at themes of the Torah reading, and specifically the daily section of the Torah portion that is meant to be studied on this day. So, without further ado, I am going to share my screen with you. Shlach Torah reading. Today is Thursday, so we're up to the fifth reading. Look, Torah is very precise, and in the aftermath of the story of the spies, we talked about the fallout. You know, these guys who were meant to just gather information. Stan, what did you call them again? Fact-finding?
Due diligence.
Due diligence. Yeah, due diligence, right? So they were sent to do due diligence, check it out, you know, bring back a basic report. They come back, oh, and they have an agenda. They're going to, you know, basically cause so fear amongst the people and try to hold them back from wanting to go in. And it works, but in the aftermath of this, so a few things happen. Number one, God makes a decree that this generation that panicked is not going to be the one to enter the land of Israel. So those that were from men from 20 to 60, they will pass away. And then only the next generation, i.e. younger than 20, they are going to be the ones to enter the land of Israel, and therefore it was 40 years of wandering, so that the 20-year-olds would hit 60 and pass away. They passed away at the age of 60 at that point. So that was one measure of fallout, the 40 years of wandering. The second was, of course, the spies, the 10 spies that failed on the mission. They faced the ultimate punishment. They were struck with a plague and they passed away pretty much immediately. And what was the other aftermath? I mean, that was basically it. And at this point, the Jews are wondering, oh, and yesterday at the end, we explained that as a result of this decree, no, you're not going to go in. So that, you know, when you tell somebody you can't, now I want to. So there were a group of Jews who said, no, now, yeah, yesterday or earlier, yeah, yes, it was the next day. Yesterday, we didn't want to go in. Yesterday, we were crying. We wanted to go back to Egypt, which, as Stan pointed out, is Meshuggah. But today, now that you tell us we can't, now we really want to. These were the Mapilim. They were the adamant ones. They were going to go, and they went up to try to conquer the land of Israel, try to get, you know, across the border, and they got struck down by the nations that were living there, and they got decimated. Okay, that's how yesterday's reading ended. Now chapter 15, verse 8, which begins the fifth reading, seems to completely switch gears and present us with an unrelated topic. But as you'll soon see, it is absolutely related. But let's first explore what it says. Verse number 8. If you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering or sacrifice by expressing a vow or for a peace offering for the Lord, okay, so you've basically pledged and are bringing a bull offering, okay, with the young bull he shall offer up a meal offering consisting of 3/10 fine flour mixed with a half a hin of oil. Sounds like a recipe. So you take your meat, and then you take some flour, fine flour, mixed with a half a hin of oil, okay? And you shall offer half a hin of wine for a libation, a fire offering of pleasing fragrance to the Lord. The key here is not necessarily the meal offering, because we have other sources for that. The new information here is the wine libation. Now, what is a libation? I don't believe that that's a common English word. People don't, I haven't heard it that much. Libation means pouring. They would take the wine, the amount of half a hin, which is a volume amount of wine, they would take the wine and they would pour it on the altar. Yeah, pour it. Libation. So shall it be done for each ox or ram, or for a young sheep or young goat. So it's not specific to the young bull. Ox, ram, sheep, goat, any offering is accompanied with the flour offering as well as the wine libation. In accordance with the number you offer up, so shall you present for each one according to their numbers. Okay? In other words, if you bring one offering, so you have one meal offering as well, and one wine libation. If you have two offerings, then you do two of each of the other accessories, so to speak. Yeah, But this is a company, these are the things that accompany each sacrifice. Wasn't necessarily mentioned before, but now we have that piece of information. And then the Torah continues to say, every native born shall do it in this manner, to offer up a fire offering, a pleasing fragrance to the Lord. If a proselyte resides with you or among you in future generations, and he offers up a fire offering, a pleasing fragrance to the Lord, as you make it, so shall he make it. The point is, whether it's a Jew or whether it's somebody who's living with the Jewish people, doesn't make a difference. If you're offering a sacrifice, an offering to God, you follow the same protocol. Again, verse 15 reiterates this. One rule applies to the assembly for yourselves and for the proselyte who resides with you. One rule applies throughout your generations. Just as it is for you, so it is for the proselyte before the Lord. There shall be one law and one ordinance for you and the proselyte who resides with you. Okay, so that was repeated a few times. The point is, no two sets of law. It's the same law, same protocol. Let's talk about the wine libation. I still have it highlighted here. That's what I want to focus on. The wine libation. Okay, at first glance, this discussion seems to be completely unrelated to the story of the spies, which comprised the first three quarters of this week's Torah portion, that incredibly dramatic story that we've discussed. But when you look at it through the lens of Kabbalah and Hasidic philosophy, you soon notice that there's actually a powerful message with regards to the wine libation that ties into the entire story and ties the whole story together. Let me explain. Okay. So what was the spiritual agenda of the spies? I explained this a few times, but I want to make sure that this is emphasized. The spiritual agenda of the spies was they didn't want to involve themselves in a physical, material-based existence. They did not want to roll up their sleeves and to get to work and to become farmers and people who are business people and seafaring merchants. They didn't want the whole geschäft. They didn't want all of that business. What do they want? They preferred to stay isolated in the Midbar, in the desert. Let me give you an example for this. It says in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, Al karchach ata chai, which means against your will, you live. What does that mean? Actually, it may even say, Al karchach ata noled, against your will, you were born. I think it even says that not only live, but you were born against your will. What does that mean? So the commentators explain, where's the soul originally? It's up. It's up in heaven, near God. So what happens with this whole life thing, life on earth thing? So God sends the soul into a body, into this world, and mazel tov, baby's born, the guy has a soul, there's life, fantastic. Great, but the soul is not necessarily happy. The soul doesn't necessarily want this. Why? Because above, everything is good. It's wonderful. It's great. It's a machaya, as they say in Yiddish. It's a machaya. It's a pleasure. What do you have to do all day as a soul above? You bask in divine light. Maybe you study and meditate, whatever that looks like. Yeah, you say, you praise God, you think about God, whatever you do, but you're in an exclusively holy environment. Now, if you're a holy being and you're in a holy environment, it's fantastic, right? Imagine, a fan of the Rolling Stones at a Rolling Stones concert. Lahavdo, right? So you'd be in your element. It's like, I could hook me up for a week with this. I nonstop. I love it. Okay. The soul above is in its element and she is absolutely basking in her moment of glory. Then what happens? The soul gets the call. You know, like in baseball when they call the bullpen, you get the phone like, oh, send in the relief pitcher. Yeah. The soul gets a call. All right, we got a shidduch. We got a match for you. We got a body. You got to come down and animate it. You got to make it alive. Great. So the mission says in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, Al karchach ata chai, or Al karchach ata noled. You were born. You and I were born against our will. What does that mean? The soul was not willingly choosing this existence. The soul would rather have that other state of existence above. By the way, I should plug. At this point in time, our new course called Life After Life, starting next Tuesday or this coming Tuesday at 8 p.m. On this topic of what is the soul's experience after this life. So we talked about the before this life. Next week we'll talk about after this life. What happens life after life? But I digress. Back to our regular scheduled programming. So the soul very begrudgingly comes down. Now it doesn't have a choice, right? God says you're going down. You're going down. I mean that's the way it is. But it's against its will. And yet, let me backtrack on that yet. This was the same drama of the spies. The spies wanted to bask in the light like the soul wants to bask in heaven. That's what the spies wanted. They wanted to bask in the divine experience of desert life. It was a very nice, peaceful, tranquil, spiritual, meditative, studious experience. It wasn't fraught with material difficulties. I know the Jews complained about the slab, about the meat. They wanted meat in last week's Torah portion. They got the meat and then they got punished for wanting the meat. But aside from the hiccups, it was a very pleasant experience. No one had jobs. No one had to work for a living. Everyone stayed and studied and prayed and meditated and connected and basked in spirituality. You had Moses around. You had the tabernacle around. You had the ark around. What else did you need? And so on a very simple level, it's not only simple, it's very simple and profound level, the spies wanted more than anything else to remain in spiritual isolation. They wanted to remain in spiritual quarantine. They did not want to leave that state and go into Israel and have to fend for themselves. No miracles, no manna from heaven, right? That's real life. They didn't want real life. They wanted to stay in this protected state and enjoy and bask in spirituality. And they were wrong. Why were they wrong? Because that's not the point of existence. That might be what the soul wants, what you want, but that's not what God wants. What God wants is to send the soul down here below to make a difference, to make some change, to bring some light into this world. So that's why the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot then says, Al karchach ata chai, against your will you live or were born. And then it says, Al karchach ata meis, and against your will you die. What does that mean? If the soul didn't want to be here, then death should represent, finally, the soul getting what she wants, escaping from the body. No, it works both ways. The soul doesn't want to be down here, but once it's down here, it realizes that it has a very important mission. And then it doesn't want to leave. Are you with me in the dual nature of the soul? So when it's above, it doesn't want to leave. It should go down into this place, this dark world, into a body. No way. Who needs it? Right? So against your will, you're born. But against your will, you die as well. Because once the soul comes down, it realizes, although it would rather be up in heaven, it plays an incredible role, an integral role in the whole purpose of existence. And then it wants to fulfill that role and it doesn't want to leave. In Kabbalah, these two modalities are called, well, I'm giving you an English adaptation of these ideas, escapism and what would be the other one? One is the modality of escaping and the other one would be engaging. So escaping, let's keep it simple, escaping and engaging. So there's one perspective, and the soul really has both perspectives. On the one hand, the soul would love to escape and would love to go up and just be spiritual and be divine and be godly and get away from all this mess. So escapism, the soul wants to escape. On the other hand, the soul knows that God wants it to engage. And God wants it to specifically connect with this world and make a difference. And that's where the spies got it wrong. Because they thought they would be honoring God by trying to escape real life. And God says, no, I want you to go to Israel and become a farmer. And that's it. And I want you to become a holy farmer and bring light into your farm and bring light into your ship and bring light into your business and make that a better place. Make that a holy space. So you can try to escape, But ultimately, and that's one modality of being, is escaping this and connecting above. But really what God wants is for us to engage below and make a difference in the here and now. Escapism versus engagementism, just to make it match. Engagement. This explains, Donna, this was for you. This explains the deeper drama of the spies. This is what happened with the spies. This was their deeper agenda. This is where they went wrong. And this is a message for us. The message for us is we're not here to escape. We're here to engage and make a difference. This also explains today's reading. Because today we learned, today we read that when you bring an animal offering, you have to match it with a wine libation. So when you bring an offering of an animal, you have to also pour some wine. What's the connection? What's the meaning of it? So when you would burn an animal or parts of the animal on the altar, right? When you burn something, what happens? Where does the smoke go? What happens? Help me out here. What direction does it go up? Gave away the answer. It goes up. It goes up. It escapes up. So when you burn something, it goes up. When you pour something, when you pour liquid, which direction does it go? Now you see it. Now hopefully you're putting together the pieces. The Torah says, here's what you need to know. Yes, there's a time and a place to bring an offering. And you're going to burn part of the offering, the fats or whatever it is, you're going to burn part of it, and that smoke is going to rise up. And so there is this notion of yearning for something higher and yearning for a connection and yearning to escape, you know, on some level, you know, the mundane nature of this world. There is a place for that also. But you must accompany any tendency to escape, to rise up, like that offering smoke, has to be matched with a wine libation. At the very moment when you feel like you want to go up, you have to remember that God Almighty wants you to go down and to stay here and to engage. That is why the animal offering that's burnt on the altar, that's raised on the altar, so to speak, is matched by a wine libation that is poured downward. If you go up, you got to go down as well. You have to match it. What this means is very important. In life, we have this dual tug, if you will. This up and this down. You might call it actually the heartbeat of existence, which is expansion and contraction, right? Like the heart that expands and contracts, goes out and it goes in. So let me give you a very simple understanding of this in our daily schedules. So within Jewish tradition, the morning is spent in study and prayer. So we wake up, get ready, and then we turn pretty much right away to study and prayer. Study and prayer. Because you can't just pray, you got to prepare for it. So you study first and then you pray. These are expressions of climbing up, right? When we study, our mind attaches higher. When we pray, our words and our hearts connect higher. So study and prayer is all about the elevation. It's all about the smoke, so to speak, elevating up. It's about becoming a little bit holier, so to speak. But then in our day, we follow that by going to work, right? We study and pray, and then we go to work. And what that means is we're meant to take the inspiration that we had, meant to take that spiritual upliftedness that we had in the morning part and then translate it down into action as we go to work, as we try to make this world a better place by the way we behave in a very practical way. So this is how our day combines both modalities, the escape and the engagement. It's not good to have one without the other. If we just escape, well, then we're not fulfilling our purpose. If we just engage, then sooner or later, we're not going to bring light into this world. We're just going to be mundane physical creatures running after the next dollar or the next meal. So in order to ensure that we engage in a way that's proper and that's transformative to the world around us, we do have to have those moments of escape. Where the spies went wrong is that they wanted to stay completely in the realm of escape, of escapism. They wanted to stay in the desert, in that idyllic, protected environment. And God said, Moses says, that's not where you need to be. You need to be, there's going to be an opportunity to study and pray. You'll have your desert moments every single day, but I want you to get to work now. Now it's time to bring light into the world. You're not meant to escape it. Okay, I hope this makes sense. What I wanted to do today is kind of recap the spiritual meaning of the sin of the spies, the error of the spies, kind of make it real and personal, connect it with the mission in Pirkei Avot that talks about the conflicting sentiment about life itself. We hate it and we also love it, right? We would love to escape, but we also love to engage because that's what we're needed for. And to connect it finally with today's reading, which seems completely unrelated. You know, some sort of sacrificial conversation with wine libations. What's the connection? Why is it here? Of all places to tell us this, why here? Why now? Why not in the book of Leviticus, you know, which was talking about the sacrifices? Why now? Because we just got through talking about the spies who wanted to escape. That's like the burnt offering that goes up. Now it's time to talk about the libation. What goes up must come down. If you feel inspired, you got to implement it. You got to engage and make a difference in the here and now. God doesn't want escapees. God wants engagees, if that's the right term at all. I have no idea. God does not want us to leave, to abdicate our mission. God wants us to fulfill our mission. Think about it like this. You are an agent. Maybe a secret agent. If you want to be a secret agent, I'll let you be a secret agent. But otherwise, you're an agent. You're an agent from the Almighty. And you're sent on a mission. You don't like the mission. You want to escape the mission. Okay, but that's not what the mission's for. At the same time, you need to communicate with headquarters sometimes to get to make sure you're staying true to mission. So you need both modalities. You need to turn back to the source to make sure you're plugged in. But then you need to be forward-facing in your mission to make a difference in the here and now. This is the dual message of the burnt offering going up, the wine libation coming down. We have to have moments in our day, not only in our lives. You know, when we're young, we learn, and then when we're older, we go to work. I don't only mean like when we look at the lifespan in general, but each and every day, moments of elevation and moments of engagement. We have to have both, and that's what makes us effective, effectively doing what our purpose really is. Okay, hope that made sense. Yes? Did that make sense? All right, it's a short reading, and we basically have that one idea that I wanted to bring together. Okay, so I'm stopping sharing, and it's good to see you all. Any questions, comments?
Is this the end of the, it's a four-day reading-like kind of thing?
Well, look, tomorrow we're going to read about the mitzvah of challah, and we're going to read about, we have the mitzvah of the challah dough, some other stuff. We might get into the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the wood gatherer. So, but we spoke about the wood gatherer last night. I'll see how much I want to speak about it tomorrow. We'll see. But if we do talk about it, it's also going to have some sort of a connection with the story of the spies. Let's put it this way. If anything that's in this Torah portion, because it's called Shlach, which means sent, those that were sent in the mission, because it's under this banner or this larger portion, so it's somehow going to be related. If I'm going to show the connection, I probably will. So, but we formally concluded the story of the spies. Now we have like bonus footage. I'm kidding. It's not just bonus footage. It's legit Torah, but it's.
I actually bought a challah this morning, so I'm nice. Excited.
You'll see tomorrow what the mitzvah is. It's a very, very powerful mitzvah. And it is connected also. Good. Any other questions, comments? Nope. All right. Tonight we have Think Different. Oh, first of all, Max, it's good to see you. Hey. Tonight is Think Different, Tanya class at 8 p.m. Sunday, we're about to unveil the program for Sunday. This is in preparation for the third day of Tammuz, which is coming up next Thursday. But this Sunday, in preparation for that, which is the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe, we're going to be having a day of learning and a day of and an evening of inspiration. We'll have a bunch of classes taught by leading scholars in the morning, different classes, different teachers on the hour. Same Zoom link, just rotating through. And then in the evening, we're going to be showing all online a beautiful documentary film called America It is called America United, The Rebbe on Race Relations and Civil Unrest. very powerful documentary that was just put together about the Rebbe's talks in the 1960s and 70s about these topics. Very powerful, very instructive in 2020. Followed by a keynote address at 7 p.m. Sunday, all Sunday, called the Rebbe's Revolution by Rabbi Manus Friedman, who is one of the leading scholars, leading Chabad scholars in the world today. So everyone's invited for that. It's free and open to everybody from about 9 a.m. in the morning for a few hours in the morning, and then once again 6:30 p.m. the film, 7 p.m. the keynote address, day of learning and evening of inspiration. Looking forward to seeing you all before then and also then. Stay tuned. Look at check your inboxes, your email and face social media feeds. We're about to put out the information within the next hour or two. So stay tuned for more of that. All right. We'll see you all. Take care. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Take care. See you soon.
So regarding the Rabbi Goes West, I'm on another one, and some of them I can't find the price. I'm on another one right now on Eventbrite, and it's free. The one I sent is also free. Everyone seems like they're suggested donation.